I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's cold. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. If you've been listening to me for more than about 5 minutes, you know that when the big stuff goes down, I got to talk about it. We are going to get to more uplifting subject matter in just a moment, specifically with my very next guest, Jacob Vanderplas, who helps run the Door County Farm for Vets. But I want to conclude this discussion, take some of your texts and calls, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The Supreme Court seems utterly unconcerned or not even able to accept the possibility that the Trump administration may not always tell the entire truth or any bit of the truth, or may conceal information that they actually owe the courts. Utterly unconcerned or even aware of the possibility that the Trump administration may not be acting in good faith. And the stakes are getting higher every single day. Mr. Abrego Garcia should have never been denied his due process. He should have never been put on a plane in the middle of the night. He should have never ended up in one of the most brutal prisons in the world. And he's been there for over a month. And the Trump administration could have put in a call. This case would have gone away. But instead, they're digging in and the situation is getting only worse. And our Supreme Court is like, oh, yeah, just send it back, have a conversation with the district court. And today, the Trump administration said, no, we're not giving you the information that you want. The court said, well, we're going to have these hearings every day. Where does all of this go? And mind you, again, this is about due process. It is the right, in my opinion, as a lawyer, student of history and foreign policy, that due process, the right of the individual to object to the deprivation of individual freedom and liberty, to be heard by a court against their government, to object to the government's seizure of their property and or person, is the most fundamental. And a Supreme Court that won't stand up to an administration that doesn't respect that right guaranteed to all, quote, persons, not just citizens, that set foot on American sovereign soil is an embarrassment and presents an ever-increasing threat to your freedoms and mine. Let's go to the phones. Jack from Merrimack, very patient this afternoon. Sir, go ahead.
Well, yeah, this suffering, whether it's the apparently random illegal deportations or threatening law firms and their clients, or breaking government contracts under the so-called Dodge, or however they pronounce that, it has one purpose. It's to say to all Americans, and even those who aren't affected by any of this, look at the harm we can cause with impunity. We can break your business. We can pressure your business in such a way you won't be able to object to anything we can do. We can even throw your ass into a horrendous foreign prison and leave you there, even if we're ordered to bring you back, and we can do it to anyone. So you better not stop our theft of your government and the trillions it has.
I think, Jack, you just put your finger on it with that last statement. All of this is one big meta threat. Do what we say or you're next. Thanks for the call, Jack. Have a great weekend. Charles from Milwaukee, thank you for your patience.
Hey, Maggie. Good start of the show today. These are horrible people. They wouldn't want to be treated like this. They're just rounding up innocent people. My thing is, when the Supreme Court screwed up, Supreme Court, mainstream media, they lied constantly about how horrible things were under Joe Biden. Now we have this guy. You have the Supreme Court to say that, well, you know, he's above the law, basically. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he's showing them, he's spitting right in their face, saying, what are you guys going to do to me? I'm godly. I'm the president. That's, you know, he thinks he's the almighty and everybody is supposed to bow down to him. My thing is, what happens when they start rounding up the young black men or black men in America because they say that they're criminals, they belong to ruthless gangs?
For nothing more than the color of their skin or the spelling of their last name. What happens when they start rounding up media people who speak out against this? What if they start rounding up people at rallies, claiming that it threatens our nation's security, and we'll just send them somewhere else and then be like, oh, that involves foreign policy, so you can go kick rocks. I mean, what next? Tom from Jackson, you're up, sir. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Tom there. Let me go to the text lines. I want to get so much good content coming in here, folks. Keep it coming. 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton says this. I believe that deportation of apprehension and apprehension of people based on race with no due process is why we are losing respect of the world. Allies are leaving our side. Latin America sees us as an aggressor and so is looking to the East and China for their business. Yeah, it does relate up to the tariff war, indeed. You know, to exert leverage on China, we would typically align with the EU and our allies. But we're fighting a residual trade war with them, too. How are we going to beat China if we don't have the support of our allies from a trade perspective? It reduces our leverage in every conceivable way, in every angle, whether it's foreign policy, geopolitics, a tariff and trade war, whatever it is. We have less safety, less leverage, because people don't trust us anymore. Cam from Appleton says this, I have seen aerial photos of the prison in El Salvador. These people are not coming back. My partner and I pulled up the aerial Google Maps photo, and it looks like they have a section of the prison used for killing people. You can see blood staining the ground, parking lot with what looks like body bag holes a mile and a half north of the prison that look like mass graves. Yeah. Maybe they're not talking about where Mr. Abrego Garcia is because he's dead. Thank you for that. Steve from Milwaukee says, I beg for consequences. When do the consequences come? Tom from Jackson, I see you. Thank you, sir. Kurt from Madison, until the pitchforks and ropes come for the five male justices on the Supreme Court, nothing will change. We're in a danger zone for sure. I do want to thank everybody for their input on this. Do not worry. We will restart this discussion on Monday. But right now, because it is Friday and we need a breath. Oh, one other thing. Mikael Ann on YouTube corrected. I think I referenced Judas in the last segment and I meant Doubting Thomas. Thank you, Mikael Ann. Babs, I also see you on YouTube. Folks, you can always watch us on YouTube and see all of our fabulous guests as well. I've got a great one now. His name is Jacob Vanderplas. He helps run the Door County Farm for Vets. If you've been listening to me for more than 5 minutes, you know that I love me some Door Peninsula, and I love our family farms, and I love veterans. I got a family full of them. Jacob, thanks so much for sticking around. A little patience as we get our segment going here this afternoon. It's a real pleasure to have you here. Tell us first where your farm is in the Door Peninsula, and what is it all about?
First off, thank you for having me on. It's definitely an honor. I am the president and CEO of Door County Farm for Vets, and we were actually located just south of Sturgeon Bay, kind of right in between Sturgeon Bay and Algoma off of County S. And we serve to actually teach veterans how to essentially homestead, how to live sustainably. So we teach a various amount of things, how to grow produce, how to raise livestock, how to process that livestock, how to process the vegetables, how to can. We also teach things how to cultivate mushrooms, honey hives. We teach how to make homemade laundry detergent and soap. So it's definitely been very impactful for myself, and we'd like to give back to others. So, yeah, it's definitely been an honor.
Are you a vet, sir?
Yes, I did 13 years in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. I started up in Marinette with Delta Company, and I actually deployed with Bravo Company to the 127 out of Green Bay. And that was the first time they were deployed since World War II.
World War II.
Yep. And when the 127 was transitioning home, I actually volunteered to stay for a second tour with Charlie Company 121st Field Artillery out of Sussex, Wisconsin. So I did two tours back to back. Yeah, that was definitely interesting. But
is that what got you? Obviously, your lived experience serving our country and then as a veteran and your farming background led you to this work. What was lacking or missing that you could see that you wanted to help with through the Door County Farm for Vets?
there was something always missing when we came home, and it was the biggest thing was the camaraderie. And we took a vow to serve and uphold the Constitution. We swore we would never leave anyone behind on the battlefield. And then we came home, and through the transition of coming home, we all kind of separated. We lost that touch and that contact. So one of the big things that we do is we grow several crops for a very large co-op called Seasonal Harvest. And some of their biggest customers are school systems throughout Northeast Wisconsin and the Green Bay Packers. So we get to grow a lot for the Packers. But every Thursday night, we have a Thursday night harvest party. We all get together and we harvest whatever's on the list. But then we conclude the evening with a big meal. So we all sit out in the front yard or in the garage if the weather's crappy, because we've had that a time or two.
And, what, in Wisconsin and the Door Peninsula? Oh, who knew?
That is, it's definitely can change and change in a quick hurry. But the most important part is we have that meal. I don't care where you go in the world. Community is built around food. So every single Thursday we put on a meal and we all get to sit around a campfire and talk and actually be together. And we're actually able to rebuild that camaraderie. This year in 2025, we're actually launching off a Victory Garden program. Mm. So the Victory Gardens actually have a whole lot of history.
All the way back to World War I,
most prominently in World War II, because there were so many people deployed overseas that the food service system in the United States of America broke down. And once upon a time when the government actually cared truly about us, they put together a pamphlet called it the Victory Garden that outlined all the succession planting, all the tools that you're going to need, and how to can, and the whole nine yards. And it was your patriotic duty to grow produce and to help serve and feed your neighbors. And we're bringing that back. So we've got nine veterans lined up to get Victory Gardens this year. I've got, I think, three left to do site surveys on. I spent all day yesterday going and just checking out the properties and kind of getting a game plan of where we're going to put these and where their water is and where we're going to get their compost pile and getting them fired off. So the next steps with that is, one, doing some more fundraising. We got to come up with about, about $9,000 yet in total to get this fired off effectively. And we're going to start breaking ground here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it is spring. It is the time for putting your hands in the dirt, get your rototillers out, figure out how your crop rotating, where the compost is going to be. It's going to smell good. I love the way the air starts to smell in the spring. Jacob, folks, if you want to help out Jacob Vanderplas, his fellow vets, and Door County Farm for Vets, you can go to www.dcfarmforvets.org. That's www.dcfarmforvets.org. We will include that website in our show notes. You can find those. Listen back to episodes at civicmedia.us/shows. You can also find all of that on Spotify and Apple Pods. That includes our show notes, all that good stuff, wherever you like to listen to us. Couple of things, Jacob, that I just wanted to reflect back to you and call up and out. And that is, I have long joked, and it's not really a joke, it's one of those glib things that I say that speaks to a truth. It's what I like to call the Last Supper theory. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ or even God to know that this was a big deal. People have written a lot of books about it. And the central moment in that story was the fact that a man who knew his death was approaching took the time to sit down with his closest friends and break bread and try to celebrate what was good and positive. And that is this quintessential transcultural, crosses through time, that we all do this very human thing. And when we are in community with people that we feel understood by and we can break bread and be together, it always makes us feel better in a really deep kind of way. So
absolutely,
big love for that, Jacob. I really have an incredible amount of respect. We're going to continue the conversation for Jacob. Do you have a question, a comment for him? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to talk about some of the near-term upcoming events. We're even going to talk a little bit about bees. We need them bees, everybody, to make our crops grow and our Victory Gardens beautiful. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.